My hands pointing to the 12. I am on the hour.
On the hour.
Such is politics.
It's a painful business.
On the hour.
What you mustn't do in politics is listen to people.
It's a painful business.
Such is politics.
First of all, I've said consistently that the recovery will be in the second half of the year. I've said that time and time and time again.
Tentacles.
I'm Christopher Morris. Good news. Today's crust.
The headlines.
Panic as European average falls below the European average. Defrocked cleric eats car park. And it's war, says Prince Harry.
On the hour.
Plus, coming up, Douglas Hurd outlines government plans to convert Kenneth Clark into a car.
We decided on the suspension.
Cross-party support as Paddy Ashdown test drives the minister.
What comes first is manoeuvring.
And Kenneth Baker tells us why Clark will become Britain's biggest-selling family car.
Look at the pictures of it. There are many estates that have greater problems than this.
But first, the news. The wave of inner-city disturbances continued unabated last night. Gangs of youths left a trail of destruction by breaking into the inner cities and driving them around at great speeds. Police chased the Moss Side district of Manchester for over 2 hours down the M6, but lost it in the fog, and in the Midlands, riot squads had to confiscate Droitwich from a gang of thugs who were trying to drive it over a cliff, and Kidderminster has been found abandoned in a hedge. Home Secretary Kenneth Baker said, "The day of the Yahoo is upon us."
On the hour, holding up a net in the strong breeze.
Time for sport now with Alan Partridge, and talking of strong breezes, Alan, you're a pretty strong man.
I certainly like to think I can do a bit of the old weights, get the old pecs and the lats in shape. Certainly think if there was a bit of a caboodle, a bit of a kerfuffle, I could certainly hold my own in a
big
bar.
And strong.
Strong-ish, yeah.
Handy with a mallet.
I certainly think I can use weaponry.
This is Sports Desk. I'm Alan Partridge. Fishing news. The British angling competition laid a score. Anglers 532, fish nil. Shock news today from swimming star Duncan Goodhue, whose hair has grown back overnight, destroying the cheery, bald swimming star image that has made him the toast of the twin worlds of sport and no hair. Goodhue feels he's at crisis point in his career due to the inevitable revenue loss from his moonlighting as a cheery, bald swimming star quiz and chat show celebrity.
Green Desk.
Green news update from me, Rosie May. Events diary. There's a fungus foray and mushroom vigil in Dulwich on Sunday. Meet at 7 o'clock by the dump.
Green Desk.
Weaving. Weaving might be the homemaking science of the future. A trip to the new environmentalist theme park Weave World near Cardiff shows how rushes can be woven into houses, hats, helicopters and imaginary friends. Ella Campion, self-styled queen of Weave World itself, is an unashamed champion of what she calls the woven life. Her home, her bicycle, her bed linen, even her hair and pants are all products of rush weaving.
Environmental news. If it's green, we'll cover it.
And remember, green is the colour of mercy. In a moment, news of this week's prime story, the World Summit on the Future. But first, as you probably heard, our reporter Kevin Smear has won this year's Golden Fist Award for Irresistible Journalism. His winning piece was the controversial documentary Kenneth Baker's World of Shame, in which, after 6 months' search, Smear eventually found the Home Secretary slumped in the corner of an amusement arcade in Hunstanton, talking candidly about his secret life.
There are problems, of course, with certain young boys. And during the summer, I've been having a series of private meetings with police officers and indeed church leaders. The Archbishop of Canterbury came to one. The Chief Rabbi came to another.
And you can hear the full story at 12:10 on Sunday in a programme which replaces the scheduled edition of Desert Island Discs.
On the Hour with Christopher Morris and other reporter presenters.
The World Summit on the Future starts today in Boslin, principal city of Limpopo. Joining me now down the line to describe the opening is our reporter, Christopher Morris.
The sound of a man sweeping up some change. And sweeping changes were top of the agenda when the delegates met today.
The only delay to a prompt start was a technical hitch in the installation of the American president's golf course.
The difficulty arose because, in accordance with internationally agreed specifications, the summit is taking place on a boat. That settled, the delegates filed into their log cabins and began debating whose log cabin to use for their meetings and whether to feature a real or gas effect roaring hearth for the television coverage. Then, under the watchful eye of the vagrant caribou demanded by the Eskimos, the giant meringue sculpture of Hercules, and the traditional bucket of wasps, the delegates began the conference according to the agreed protocol. Each speaker to kneel on a silk napkin grasping the staple of truth, proposals to be delivered in a monotone to avoid the deceptive colouring of inflection and emphasis, and the end of each speech to be signalled by the removal of a limb or a forfeit. And earlier today, I've been finding out what people think about the summit with a microphone.
Looking at the future, is it a leaky vessel?
Very.
Yeah, it is very.
What shape is the future?
Well, spiky, I suppose.
The future, what are the overall prospects?
I think it will be good.
So the prospects for overalls, good?
Yes.
Blue, black, red or green?
Blue.
You'd go for blue overalls?
Yes.
On the Hour. Current affairs broadcasting melded with the broadness of life.
What I want to know is who left this potato in the way. Tennis now, and with 38 weeks to go before Wimbledon fortnight, here's a special report on the state of British tennis with our correspondent, David Hynes.
With only 3.5 months to go before Wimbledon, it seems an opportune moment to examine the state of British tennis today. Britain currently has 3 world-class players on the circuit, seeded 674th to 676th. Britain's tennis coach, Julia Courtney Hayhoe, takes the credit for this achievement. I spoke to her at the Virginia Wade Tennis School in Surrey.
Now, if you look back, Virginia Wade won in 1977. And if you look forward, we can see that all our players look terribly, terribly smart. They have good haircuts, they have nice thighs. British tennis is doing very well, actually. Now, Virginia Wade won in 1977.
But 87-year-old Stan Naylor remembers better days. He was Wimbledon champion from 1921 to 29.
What was the competition like? Well, who were you up against?
Well, it was pretty bloody stiff. There was Jenkins, of course, who I was at Oxford with. He was a fellow blue. And then there were the Cambridge boys, Jones and Jones. They were brothers.
And the four of you were at the top of your profession?
We were the profession.
You were that good?
Well, we were the profession. I mean, there was no one else.
I'm sorry, there were only four in the entire competition?
Yes, I think you could say that.
I see, so there were only four seeds, there were only four...
No, three seeds. Three seeds and a fourth, a googly.
For an insight into modern-day training methods, I joined a typical session at the school.
I'm with Roger King, who's supervising one of the modern-day training sessions. Roger, the methods look a little unorthodox. Can you talk us through them?
All the players in the team there, they all have their ironing boards, an ironing board each. And what they're just looking at the moment is the technique of getting the creases into their kit. You can see there's a lovely forearm that Buster has over there with his iron, and that he's been working on quite a lot. And there we see some players just practicing the taking the lemon barley water, sitting down, drinking it, and placing the cup back in the bin. We are sure that our players will do us proud on the pitch.
The court, surely. Tennis court.
Court. Margaret Court.
I mean, they play on the tennis court, not a pitch. Surely that's cricket.
No. Really?
The irony is that 14 years after Virginia Wade's great victory, the shockwaves are being felt all over the world, and no more so than here in Paraguay City. To the Paraguayans, Virginia Wade is a monument. Even today, they name children of both sexes after her. I spoke to 9-year-old Virginia Wade Iglesias.
We have no racket or ball, nor my brother, senor, but God has given branches to the trees, and the branches give their sticks to us, and they are our rackets.
So, what are our future prospects? Susanna Sharper is the school's most recent graduate. She has just played 3-year-old Bolivian girl Monica Perez de Cuella. How did she fare?
Yeah, I was beaten to love. I mean, I didn't score 1 point, but it was quite a good game.
And how do you feel about her approach to the game?
Well, I thought she looked terribly sloppy. She didn't drink hardly any barley water. I drank much, much more than her. And she had these rather chunky brown thighs. And she had hairy armpits as well. And I frankly think she should have lost a lot of points on style. I mean, she kept hitting the ball where I couldn't get it.
Do you think perhaps you have anything more to learn about the game?
I think she has. I think she could wash her kit.
On the hour, spooning the more important grain from the news hopper.
Later in the programme, more on the Penelope Keith riots in South Africa. But first, the Department of Transport Clean Up Roads campaign starts today. Drivers can help by dragging a bit of old cloth or a dustpan and brush along behind the car. And the talks continue at the World Summit on the Future.
I shall be there.
Let's pause now for some prayer desk thoughts from Monsignor Trebe Lopez.
The devil is evil with the D of damnation. God is good with the round O of oh yeah added. Leap ye lizards, dance O ye dogs, dwarves, tumble. As an insect is known by its doings, so are the adulterous benounced to the Lord. Eat, be merry, shun war, love your neighbour, ignore the menstruators, behave politely, move around at an even pace, wear shirts, nibble nuts, caper, but the greatest of all the commandments is nibble nuts.
This week's special concern report comes from our music correspondent Wayne Carr, who's been finding the works of Satan recorded backwards on pop records. The work of recording satanic messages backwards on popular records started with the Beatles and before. Alex Maloney of the Congregational Church of Elin Pentecostal Christians tours the country giving seminars in which he plays records backwards to demonstrate the evil within. I phoned him up and played him his own most famous example with Queen and Another One Bites the Dust.
Another one bites the dust.
Alex, let me ask you, first of all, how does it feel when you hear that?
There's, how can I explain it, a quickening in my spirit. What I'm actually hearing is, it's fun to smoke marijuana. The spirit behind the intention is definitely from a satanic force.
Well, this next shocking example is from Madonna. It's all too clear that's referring to drugs with the words, have another sniff, you'll like it.
Yeah, got it that time. I'd actually blocked my own mind there, because the one I was expecting was Satan, I love him.
I think we all know that one.
Yeah.
Pin your lugs back and check out this debasing example from the God musical, Jesus Christ Superstar. Can I speak God? Elaine Page singing, oh, more cheap savage, rush now, you savage, and I admit your powders.
Yeah, it's there, it's definitely there. I think what we're seeing is the net is being thrown even wider.
Satan's vomit has penetrated a long way.
Very much so. They're drawing the youngsters in.
The sick pilot whales of the record industry.
Very much so. And it's been going on ever since the Beatles and before.
Now, have you come across an example before by the vocal megacrate Phil Collins?
I've not heard of one by Phil Collins.
See what you think of this. Yes, I wish it would rain.
Yeah, I got heroin in. I certainly got the my heroin in.
Bang on the bods, my heroin was in and in my corgi's knee, which can only imply some kind of grim, bestial drug fixation with a dog that he's probably shagging. That's a shocker, isn't it, for a man with such a fine image?
Strangely enough, because these people have given themselves over to a particular type of lifestyle, it is actually a manifestation of a demonic voice through their own bodies, because they've become slaves to that type of life.
They become a devil duct.
That's right. And so therefore they're used.
Some people even go so far as to...
Oh, yes. Well, you know, Scripture tells us in Proverbs 4:16-17,
yep,
they cannot sleep until they make somebody fall.
The little old man
they
with
will not know slumber until they do evil.
Pottering around.
Eat the bread of wickedness,
you're
and
gone,
drink the wine of violence.
Cocking the legs
and
on
really
the bushes.
That is a scripture which points to
falling
the
over.
Way that it just goes on and on and on and on.
Yep.
Until people are absolutely
drunk,
drenched in
the gastric juices of evil.
Oh, it's awful.
Perhaps most shocking of all, our last example is a record for kids.
Broke off his horse's head. There's the saucy fucker.
Do you count that as very grim or very, very grim?
I think it's very, very grim. It's woven its way so much through that I don't think now any group can get onto the rock scene without being infiltrated.
Without having Satan in its bowels.
Very much so.
Amen.
There's the saucy fucker.
Wayne Carr with that disturbing story. This is On the Hour. Coming up over the next 843 seconds, outcriers Ford recall all cars.
We're not saying it's dangerous. It's just that if it came into contact with a child, then one of them would melt.
And pay global heed, say the Met Office.
Well, if the public insists on wearing these, then Newcastle will be under a ton of water by Ash Wednesday.
And as the hot weather continues, Britain is counting the cost. A farmer in Cumbria committed suicide after discovering the withering overnight temperatures had reduced his precious dairy cattle to the size of grasshoppers. And as water becomes increasingly scarce in the New Forest, several wardens have reported trees fighting for dew towards dawn. For a roundup of the latest weather prospects, here's Suzanne Charlton at the London Weather Centre.
Most places likely to be plagued by that, parts of Essex and Kent. Northern Ireland, northern parts of England, East Anglia, Wales, the Midlands and down towards the southeast. For the southwest, West Wales, Northern Ireland and in the far north of England and Northern Ireland, the cloud will increase during the day. That shows where the cloud's going to move into, turning cloudy. Though in Northern Ireland, the cloud more likely to stick. Some low cloud there, but in complete contrast, cloudy with a little patchy drizzle. That's it.
Good. Still to come, studio analysis on the summit from Paddy Ashton.
Can I just make one final point, you, Nick, and that's this?
No. Time for Sports Desk with Alan Partridge.
This is Sports Desk. I'm Alan Partridge. Confusion at the end of the American football Super Bowl in LA this week, as both teams claimed victory, and there was no one in the ground who was exactly sure how the scoring system works or of the basis upon which the points are awarded. Coach Enny Ramal of the LA Dogs said, "Surely it's how much you throw the ball around that counts," while Zeem Nortioni of the New York Dogs counted, "No, it's how fast you go up and down. That's what means you win." And news in from the Dolphinarium Brighton, where kindly local dolphins and otters have come up with a novel way to solve the financial crisis of newly enhaired ex-bald swimming star Duncan Goodhue, their human aqua friend. They're planning to join with Goodhue in a musical aqua show involving leaping through hoops, catching fish and clicking. The dolphins and otters will wear wigs to remind even the most hard-hearted onlooker of the tragedy of Goodhue's misfortune. Duncan is hoping that the proceeds from the show will enable him to buy an electric razor or else a cheap novelty bald joke wig.
Alan Partridge with today's sport. And before you go, Alan, I gather that your wife rose from the dead this weekend.
Yeah, I was wondering how long it would take for that one to get round. Yeah, I was doing a spot of decorating and, right like a bowl out of the blue, there was my wife, you know, with a couple of other members of the living dead.
Any smell involved?
Quite a bit, I can tell you. A bit of a hoy there, but, So I had to, you know, got out the garden hose, sort of clean her up a bit, and certainly I do love her, even though there's a smell.
The onset of putrefaction hasn't destroyed the charm.
Yeah.
On the Hour, maximum use of the BBC's news resources.
And now it's time for a video review, and our reviewer this week is Bob Tiff. Bob, have you found it an interesting selection this week?
Thank you, Chris. And three new films to tell you about this week, all of them specially rewritten and reshot for the video market. A case in point is Merchant Ivory's Room with a View 2, set like its predecessor in a Tuscan summer of long ago. touching and sturdy performances by a stalwart team of British actors, including Denham Elliott, Judy Dench and Maggie Smith, are somewhat marred by the presence in the video version of a lethal swamp monster who stalks the streets of Florence by night, devouring Anglican clergymen. Overall, a disappointment. But there is a convincing performance as Chagrin the cleric-slaying mud creature from Simon Callow. Missouri is the setting for Woody Allen's new offering, Vacation of the Heart, another dowdy production from the former comedian. Four middle-aged New York sitcom producers meet up at a remote mountain ranch. Dave and Marty are both in love with Danny's wife, Sue, while the fourth man, Melvin, has suddenly fallen in love with himself and has decided to make a film about it. Gradually, as the weekend progresses, Melvin and Dave discover more about themselves than Danny and Marty did of each other. Here's a clip.
Dave, I don't think I can write it.
Oh, for Christ's sake, what do you mean you can't write it?
I mean this joke. I can feel it, but I can't write it.
But comedy is about feeling.
Yeah, but where's the joke? Maybe I'm the joke. Or the joke. She's hacked my arm off.
Woody Allen and Michael Murphy there, with a brief appearance as the mutilated, axe-wielding corpse of a long-dead Nazi by Mia Farrow, of course. Vacation of the Heart. And finally we go to the bottom of the pile, in every sense. From TriStar Videos comes Revenge of the Stinking Dead. The title, sleeve notes, and indeed still photographs on the cover promise much entertaining spilling of gore and severing of limbs. But sadly, all this is lacking in the film itself. Director Bill Goering misses several opportunities to spatter the old red stuff, and instead shamelessly concentrates on the slight tale of a young Russian peasant boy struggling to nurture his gift for the viola, while managing the demands of his dead father's farm. What should have been an enjoyable 90 minutes of nubile high school flesh meeting a frenzy of blood-caked blades becomes instead an exploitational and complex parable of the conflicting demands of agrarianism and artistry. I voted a miss.
On the Hour. Choice morsels from a broad kitchen.
More news now from the World Summit on the Future.
Can I just make one final point, Nick, and that's this?
No. And the summit has, of course, been a rich source of material for comic satirists. Our reporter Steve Largesse paid a visit to the offices of Radio 4's long-running irreverent romp through the week's news. Thank God it's Satire Day.
It's 11 o'clock on Wednesday morning, and I'm holding in my hand a blank piece of paper. But by Saturday evening, not only must this page be full of thought-provoking topical jokes, but those jokes must be broadcast on the radio to be heard by us. So, just how is this unbelievable and amazing transformation brought about? Well, I'm here at the Satire Day Writers' Meeting to find out. Well, here goes. Hello! Hello, 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 hello!
Hello, hello, hello!
Nice to see you. Here we are.
Steve, sit down. Meet the others.
Deborah Lindsay is the producer.
Right. This summit conference, guys, any ideas? Martin?
Yeah, Deb. Well, I was thinking it through last night. It just seemed to me like quite a clever angle if we sort of took it back to Robin Hood and, like, we portrayed Gorbachev as Robin Hood. And connect that with, like, John Major could be the Sheriff of Nottingham.
Yeah. Mm. Yes. Yes, I'll hold on to that, Martin. Richard?
Yeah, I had an idea, actually. What about if we did a parallel with, like, the Robin Hood story, only taking Robin Hood to be John Major and Gorbachev to be Sheriff of Nottingham? I think that might be a nice little... make a few points that way.
Yes, I like it.
And then Mrs. Thatcher could be, like, Maid Marian, maybe.
That's fantastic. I'm going to go with it.
No, because no.
Fry Tuck could be Willie White or something, maybe.
No, that wouldn't work.
Norman Willis?
Maybe. Yeah, but it is. I'll go away and work on it, and then maybe I'll show it to you.
I think the two of you can get your heads together, go down to the coffee bar, talk through, bash it through,
but
come
I'll
back
take
upstairs.
It away. I'm on a 5-minute commission. If I share it with him, then I've only got 2.5 minutes.
I think we can thrash this through when actually the sketch is written, guys. Shall we?
I'll write it, then we'll thrash it through, yeah?
Yeah, but I'll do the actual writing, and Richard can, like, advise. Maybe.
Commissioned writer Martin Longthorpe has been writing for Satire Day for 23 years.
The thing I always like to throw into the pot is the Robin Hood idea. Because I think, you know, Robin Hood, it's endless. Robin Hood will always be there. And so I chuck it in every week.
Well, here we are, 24 hours later. The script has been written, and Richard's Robin Hood sketch is chosen to be performed for the show.
Ha-ha! I am Robin John Major Hood.
Yes, you are so short-sighted. You probably wear some kind of hood.
I rob from the poor and give to the rich because I am completely evil and government is really bad if it's right wing.
Yes, with you in charge, I doubt we'll win the next election.
Makes you think, Iron Maid Marion. Oh, and apparently there's been some kind of summit this week as well.
I'd say my ultimate ambition for Satire Day is to bring down the Tories and their shamefaced hypocrisy. But also, and more importantly, I'd like to give old and middle-class people in the South East something to chuckle about on a Saturday night.
Thank God It's Satire Day was written by Larkajin Babs, Gingerly Roundabouts, Polly Pantomime, Stephen Hull Hosiery, Peru, Dick Hickory, Simeon Samian, Beanbill Bambendi, Lennon Barry Harry Bean, Therese and Tommy Territory, with news lines by Melton Stitt, Massingbird Massingbird, Gary Riot, Keith Buhaha, Christ, Lalida Harcastle, Engelbert Impromptu, and Fact Portugal. It's 3:50, and the conclusions of the summit have just been announced. And the first surprise was the announcement itself, which was made in a new world language called Interglotty. The decisions were as follows.
Human Trib.
Good evening.
Cleb Tribihong. Shabaka Shabaka Salini.
The
Lub Shahunda Cork. Portion Cork. Portion.
Future would be better if.
Ilya Lali Lali Shali.
Everything was moved over to the left a bit.
Podids.
Builders didn't have arses.
Harblitrot. Harblitrot.
There were a few more red things.
Sak Fuhaka.
And people breathed out less often than they breathed in.
Now.
And at home, public reaction to the new rulings has been swift.
What do you think of the proposals for breathing out a little less often?
I would think you're barking up a sticky wicket there.
And say for every 20 times you breathe in, how many times should you breathe out?
About 10.
What do you think of the very latest proposals to make a few more red things?
Well, I don't think very much, really. I don't like too highly coloured things.
So what do you think of the Let's Make a Few More Red Things Society?
I expect it attracts the younger people, but it doesn't appeal to me too much.
Well, there's enough red things about in there.
Are there?
There's enough red things about, like fire engines, post boxes.
What could be the danger in having too many red things?
Well, if you have too many red things, your eyes start going.
How many more red things should we be allowed?
Oh, about 3 or 4.
A successful end to the World Summit on the Future.
Can I just make one final point?
No.
Closing music.
And it's time for a look at tomorrow's headlines. The Times, farmer loses piece of straw in unexpected gust disaster. They're devoting 12 pages to that story. The Telegraph, Penelope Keith riots end in shaving contest. The Independent, Tory backbench in sword fight with devil. There's a diagram there of hell. And The Sun, Princess Di's hair dishevelled by 7-inch tornado. That's it, and wherever you're going, hello.